In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Really? There's only one thing. Really?
Adam Cravens.
Really? Have you watched Stranger Things Season 3?
I've actually not watched Stranger Things.
Ah!
Like, I just, it hit at points that, like, I just had a lot of work that was consuming me. And, like, I mean, because even 10, 11 episodes, you've got to commit some time to that. Now, the kids have watched them. Like, I've kind of peripherally seen it, but I have not actually got to sit down and properly ingest that show.
There are a lot of things in Stranger Things that you will truly treasure.
The kids, it's got a lot of
Hopper?
It's got a lot of love for the 80s.
Yes.
And it's got a lot of love for the things in the 80s that I love.
Yes.
Like, they, I guess there was a reason, the newest drop has got like a Back to the Future reference.
Constant.
Some of the previous scenes or seasons got like Ghostbusters references in and like the 80s is like, that's my childhood right there. Like, you invoke the name Ghostbusters, like, and you've got my attention.
And the one of the leads, Hopper, the sheriff, he, and this is not a spoiler, he's been raising L11, and by season 3, if you haven't seen the other two, you're a moron. Sorry, Adam, but you are. So Hopper, he is a lot of what you aspire to be.
Grizzled.
And annoyed at everything.
And kind of hateful.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That's,
yes.
Yeah, that's pretty close to me.
Yeah. So you're going to like it on a whole different level. Okay. So when last we visited, I'll wrap it up for you in the event you don't get any of it. In the first Stranger Things, a kid goes missing, and it turns out he's in the Down Under, which is
Australia.
Yes. And Australia can be heard through a gateway.
Right.
And you can go into the Down Under.
Is it gateway a telephone?
And the Down Under has what they call the Demogorgon, because the boys, the four friends who are all around the same age, though the one that gets in the Down Under, he's a little younger.
And you summon it with a didgeridoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in there, and so they have to, everyone has to find him, fight off the Demogorgon, okay? And they make friends with Elle, who has superpowers. We don't know why, but she does, and she can throw stuff with her mind. In the meantime, there's just loveliness. So, it's just delicious. So that's the first season is about Will is in the Down Under and so on. So, of course, the first season ends with Will belching up things that were down his throat in the Down Under. So then you have season dos, and it's they're getting a little older. Their relationships are changing just a little bit, things like that. There are more characters introduced, and the newer characters is, well, for instance, the boys go to play. When I grew up, it was called the Time Tunnel. I don't know where they're playing, but they're playing. No, it was called Time Out. It was called Time Out, and that's, I never went. That's why I don't know. It's where all the video games are. Well, Dustin, he was the king of whatever, and they go and they see that Mad Max is beating all of them. So naturally, they find out Mad Max is a girl of all things. A girl.
I love. I did.
Yeah.
It's it like you mentioned video games. Like, I remember some of my friends' reaction. Like, if you ever played the game Metroid, that you have this alien like bounty hunter who is going through this planet and, like, just killing, like, these Metro, like, just one of the coolest original Nintendo characters. At the end of the game, once you beat it, this bounty hunter takes off their helmet, and it's revealed that it's a girl. Her name is Samus, and like I remember some boys just being like, I've been playing a girl. Girls aren't awesome alien bounty hunters. Like just and even at that age, I'm just like, what? No, there's still an awesome bounty hunter. Girls can be like, I don't know if I was ahead of the time, but like it just never bothered me. Like
I've never forgotten you and Victor saying, we just don't believe that women are as funny as men.
We enjoyed being incendiary. At that point in our life, and we knew buttons that we could push that we could get reactions from people, and like sometimes we would just say things that we knew that we could get a solid reaction from. And I'll tell you right now, that one always worked. Like
yeah,
it was a greatest hits right there.
So in the next season, you have what they started to call the Mind Flayer. Okay, so the Mind Flayer controls the Down Under, and the Mind Flayer controls the Demogorgon. And the Demogorgon is what we like to call the meat flower.
It really sounds like what my cousin, like Bubba, would say. It's the flyer. The flyer. It's a big old flyer. I think it's a sun flyer, if I'm remembering right.
So, in the second season, you have new characters. Max has an older brother who is, what's the word I can call him? He is definitely a punk. Everybody hates him. All the girls think he's hot. And he is a jerk to everyone. Because he is. Of course, there's a reason why he's a jerk. But
some kids are.
Yeah. But he's a jerk to everyone. So you have these new characters. And you also get to meet Lucas's little sister. And she is, in a word, sassifiable. So
that's not a word. I'll allow it.
It is now.
Judges, we'll allow it.
So you now come to, and in season two, Elle is living with Hopper and they're working out their relationship because she's never had anything close to a normal home life. And he once had a child who died from cancer. So he's had a family, but it's been a long, long time since he's cared for someone else and took care of them.
For anybody that lives by themselves or like never really, like living with a person is tremendously different than any other kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to use the term invasive, but I think it's the best one, like, for it. Like, it seems a little pejorative, but, like, living with a person, even if you really like that person, like, if you like all, eventually, there is something that they do that you don't like.
See, that's what I've told my girls. I said, yeah, a lot of marriages don't last for whatever reason. I said, but sometimes you have to look at it like this. You already know all the annoying things about this one. Let me tell you, the next one's going to have annoying things too.
I think that's the devil that you know.
Like, yes. I said, so keep that in mind as you have relationships. If it's horrible, please get out of it. But sometimes it's just, what are you going to trade it off with?
Like, you don't like that they do this, but they're going to do something you don't like. Is that something you can live with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, versus, and I mean, like, it just, okay, I've got six kids, and like, I love my kids. Like, I'd do anything for my kids, but they do stuff
are they invasive?
That, oh my goodness, like, they're invasive like surgery. Like, they want to break all your stuff. They want to eat things that you bought for yourself. And like, I'm diabetic. So like,
sounds just like Jim. That was my food. I had it in my refrigerator.
I have a specialized diet. Uh-huh, I do have diabetes.
Whatever, yeah.
So like, I can't just like rock a like bit of chocolate or like some potato chips unless I want to shoot my sugar sky high. I'll get like sugar-free parfaits. Like, I love those. It's Jell-O and whipped cream. Who wouldn't love them?
I'll
and
bet
guess,
they eat them all.
Guess. I think just Canyon does. I think, like, he's like, I don't know if he doesn't understand what diabetes is. I don't know if he's just like, dad eats weird things. Or if he's just like, this is good, I will eat it. I'm betting it's probably a combination of all those
and
things.
And does he then put the empty container back? Because that's my favorite move.
Sometimes. Or he'll eat all, but like, and not even like a bite, like half a bite.
I didn't finish it. Anyway.
Yeah.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by the Henson Oakley Family Dentistry. We're in the podcast center, Jay and Ellen talking to Adam Cravens about what is worth watching. And on Netflix, it's Stranger Things. So now we have...
I'm really glad Amazon Prime did not cancel.
Yeah, I am glad too.
Thank you, Amazon Prime.
There was a character in the first season who, again, you just didn't like him. Even though you understood him, he was a character that you'd seen in Pretty in Pink. He was Andrew McCarthy, okay? You've seen that character in an 80s movie. His name is Steve. But as I told the kids, I said, Steve, much like Sirius, he will be redeemed. So let's not give him all the hate. So then you have in season two, Steve, who is older, becomes really good friends with Dustin. And Dustin is the curly-haired guy who's missing his front teeth. And they begin what we would call a bromance. And I'm very thankful to say that Steve and Dustin are together in almost every single episode of season three, and it is delicious.
One of the signs of like a well-written piece of I mean, anything, is taking a character that is infinitely unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Like just... on paper, like they should be a villain, and finding a way to redeem that person, mm-hmm. or write them in a way that you are compelled to watch, even though everything about like a Tony Soprano, like the Sopranos was like just it's a film or a show that they've been trying to copy since like, was it 98, something like that? Tony should not have been a likable character. You should not have. He does terrible things constantly, but like. You wanted to follow this character. Jaime Lannister, like from episode one of Game of Thrones, is a terrible person. And by the time we roll around to the last season, they have all but redeemed this character.
Wow. So you have with Steve, here's one delightful part, and this is not a spoiler. For whatever reason, Steve didn't do well on a college entrance exam. So in order to teach him a lesson, his father is making him support himself with, as Steve was putting it, a demeaning job for him, because Steve was prom king. He had perfect hair and all that stuff. So he was a total jerk in high school. He now realizes that. But in high school, he was flying high. And now he works at, wait for it, Scoops Ahoy, where through the entire 8 episodes, he is wearing navy blue shorts and a top, a jaunty sailor top, and a jaunty hat.
I can't imagine that. What is it? Scoops Ahoy?
Scoops Ahoy.
Okay. I can't imagine that is demeaning or demasculating in any way.
They've done a
it
brilliant job.
It certainly does not sound like it.
They've done a brilliant job. As a lot of this takes place in the mall, yes, you will see an Orange Julius and Claire's and Zales.
What? What mall does not have any of those things you just mentioned?
I don't think Orange Julius is still a thing.
You
is
sure?
I'm not sure, but anyway.
I want to say there's one in Opry Mills. Or like,
it's been
a minute since I've been there, but I'm just saying, like, I think it is.
They used to be ubiquitous. So, and it's got all the old fonts and stuff.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Well, this was also at a period that, like, malls were not, like, becoming unicorns either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bigger ones, like, you know, your Opry Mills, like Mall of America, like those, like the, but you don't see them like, you know, they're, Nashville used to have what, like 4 or 5? And I want to say like they're down to really just like 2 big mm-hmm. ones at this point. Like it just, people want, they want like outlets now. They don't want malls, which I'll tell you, I don't understand. And maybe this is the 80s in me talking, because that happens a lot. 80s speak through me. I am their muse,
mm-hmm.
if you will. I really like being in a climate-controlled environment that I can just walk to all of them. Like, whenever you're dealing with, like, outlets and you have to, like, drive or walk in the sun or rain, if it's done that way, why wouldn't you just want it to all be in one location that you can walk to or escalate to or elevate to?
I'm like, sure they'll all come back.
Well, I mean, everything seems to...
So, what we have here is Steve and Dustin are just thrown together, And hard to believe, but now the Russians are involved. Talking about the Russians in the 80s. That's dead on, because that's what you talked about in the 80s.
But pretty
the
much
Russians.
The years 1960 up until, I want to say, like 88 mm-hmm. or so. Whatever the time the last Timothy Dalton James Bond movie was, right. like it, the Russia was who you were talking about. Like Rocky even fought the Russians.
Mm-hmm. So this, they're really nailing it with the Russians. And so you have... It's not. They're just not talking about them. The Russians are involved now in some way what's going on.
Were they Soviets at that point?
They call them the Russians.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right.
So the Russians.
I'm past. It's good. I accept that reality.
Anyway, so you have that. You have Lucas's younger sister has a bigger role. You have another character who is the co-worker of Steve, and she's the voice of reason and actually knows some Russian, which is handy. You meet, again, Hop's very paranoid friend, Murray Bowman. It's Murray Bowman. And he is your classic, the government's out to get us and everything is set up this way and that. He is delightful. So you have more new characters. And with this one, you also have some lovely, lovely sexism happening because of, what's her name? The girl child.
You said lovely sexism.
Yes,
right?
Wait.
All right, I wanted to make sure.
The girl child, whatever her name is, it escapes me. The older sister of Mike, she, the one who used to date Steve, she's got a job and she wants to be a reporter. And who has been cast as the biggest jerk in the world and plays it? It's like their Biff. That would be Gary Busey's son. And he's just...
I mean, I don't know a wealth of Gary Busey's son's like work. You're talking about... he's not playing like a Gary Busey type.
This is Gary Busey's
like of his loin, like
yes.
son.
Yes.
I don't, like I said, I don't know the guy, but the image that I have in my head.
That's the one.
I'm just going to say, it has to match up. It has to.
Now, for some reason, I didn't catch on because the mayor didn't have that much screen time, and I just didn't pick up on it. But the mayor was Carrie Elwes.
That's nice.
And when I looked, I thought that... there's something about him that looked familiar, but then again, you know, he wasn't 20 years old and dewy looking, and I just didn't catch it.
I'll tell you, the goodwill that guy engendered in mm-hmm. Princess Bride, like, I'll let him ride on that for the entirety of his life. And, like, I mean, it's not like he hasn't done anything else. Like, he was in those Saw movies that I didn't watch.
He does some great Culligan commercials.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Is
like,
awesome.
It probably Mel Brooks' last good movie. That's a name that I even, like, the little side role he had in Liar Liar. Like, he really is just, like, an underrated guy that, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say he peaked really early, but, like...
but has worked steadily.
Yeah. Princess Bride might be a perfect movie. Yeah. I don't know anything about that movie that I don't like. But that also happens a lot when you put Billy Crystal in a movie for me. Like, I can't hate on Billy Crystal. I have a really hard time doing it.
So you have all these things going on in Stranger Things. And much like in each of the others, there are the younger kids. In the very first one, you had the group of the four boys trying to find their friend Will. So it was the three boys and Elle trying to find the younger boy. Then you had the high schoolers. And then you had Hopper and Will's mom. So you had these three groups. And you would say, if only they'd just talk to each other. So again, you have three different groups. And in this one, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but two of the boys happen to be from Broadway, and one would happen to play Dustin, and the other plays Lucas, and they do get to share their excellent singing ability. to great comic effect. So there's that going on.
I do love a good boisterous, like,
yes,
musical number.
Yes. And it's, I rewatched just that scene again because, well, again, this isn't a spoiler, but it's a critical time and everyone's doing their job and they've only got so much time to get this done. But in order to get some information, Dustin's girlfriend, who up until this point they all thought he was making up, she has to provide the information, but she won't unless there is singing involved. And so then you see everyone else with the what? You know, you see a monster chasing them and Steve's like, what is he? It's hilarious. And it's fabulous. By the way, this monster, they've really outdone themselves. In season 3 of Stranger Things, the ick factor is, it goes up to 11, all right? And I'm not just talking how it looks. The noises is just...
And for this to make it to a third season, like, Netflix is starting to become what Fox was in the early 2000s for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I very much took personally, like, the cancellation of Daredevil. I understand the reasons, like, the business reasons behind it.
Have they officially canceled Jessica Jones? Because I assume
they... Yeah, they did that a couple months ago.
Okay.
Like, they were just, like... They have said that eventually these series may find homes at Hulu,
yeah,
which is now basically owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But with the contract that Marvel Disney signed with Netflix, basically they can't appear for, I want to say it's a 2-year period, in any other media. So, like, even if you wanted Daredevil to appear in Endgame contractually, I don't think he could have. And like, he can't, like, Disney Plus, he can eventually show up there. Like, they can still use that actor, but from whatever they consider the beginning of that 2-year period, you cannot use that character for that period of time. Netflix had like a non-compete. I don't know mm-hmm. exactly the legal, like, jargon for it, but those characters can't show up anywhere else. Netflix owns them for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of their decisions are very much being based on, like, analytics and business. And I understand they're there to make money. But, like, with the amount of subscriptions that they have for, like, a month, Netflix is probably pulling in close to $1 billion a month. And I know that, like, Stranger Things probably was not cheap. Triple Frontier was not a cheap movie. Like, I want to mm-hmm. say they said $115 million. And I enjoyed those things. But, like, I think a lot of the cancellations in Netflix are also based on those analytics. And I know they're not in it for the art. But, like, as a person that follows these things and, like, you know, appreciates a good fan campaign to get something, like, brought back, like, I don't want, like, my entertainment being monitored where when they see, oh, well, like, the analytics tell us that it's ticking down, we have to cancel it.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I've had way too many shows end on cliffhangers that will never be resolved. And I don't want that to start happening to my Netflix shows, which, by the way, they did,
yes,
especially with the Marvel ones.
Did I mention Paul Reiser's involved in Stranger Things?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you did, but maybe I don't remember it.
And he doesn't actually speak words in this one, but it takes place on the 4th of July. It dropped on the 4th of July.
That was nice. That was probably no mistake.
It was lovely. I loved so much about it that it's not even funny. And then Jenna was an episode behind, so I rewatched the last episode with her. And no spoilers, yet feelings. So lots of feelings. And it's like a Marvel. There's a thing at the end.
That basically tags it for the next.
Yes. So, yeah. They could end it there. I seriously, seriously doubt it. Because it then jumps 3 months later.
Right.
And so then you have, I'd really like to talk about it, but we'll do that on the spoiler show. You have things that you can make assumptions on as to what happened here and there. And, you know, it's science fiction, so anything can happen. It's deliciously acted and well-written, and I have nothing to complain about regarding it.
What is it about, like, an emotive response, like, as an audience that we, like, I understand, like, wanting to laugh. Like, mm-hmm. It's a very positive, like, it feels good to laugh. Like, I feel good after I've laughed. Like, a good laugh that so much so, like, my muscles are sore, like, mm-hmm. after it. But, like, there are also things that I will relive that, like, that will make me cry consistently. Like, in Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, that last little bit when, like, Yondu and Star-Lord have
so hard.
I'm just saying, like, every time I see it, like, if I don't just full-on start bawling, like, my eyes get so watery, I can't see out of them until I cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, and I keep doing it. Sometimes I'll just watch that scene. Like, and I'm just like, but it's such a beautiful, like, well-acted scene in surrounding in this, like, bombast. Like, not 10 minutes before that, like, Star-Lord had turned into Pac-Man while he was fighting, like, his father who's in a, like, just this, all of this, like, just ridiculousness. But when you get to that moment, like, it's so honest and it's so touching.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it connects with you. And I just, I'll sit there and I'll watch it. And for what about that makes me want to relive? Like, why do I want to cry? Like,
but unlike Sophie's Choice, I don't want to relive that scene.
No, I don't.
That is painful in a.
But why don't
right.
I want to cry?
I wonder.
Why don't I want to cry? Like, okay, Schindler's List. That is a film that if you don't get some kind of feeling out of that movie, you're dead inside. You're mm-hmm. dead inside or you're a Nazi. But I don't want to relive that movie. Like, I've seen it maybe, I think, twice the full way through. It's an exceptional movie, and it definitely, like, makes you feel something. Why don't I want to relive that experience? Like, what?
I don't know.
What correlates with the emotive response that we, and like I said, laughter I get. I understand that. But, like, there are movies that make me cry that I will watch over and over and over.
I think, though, the difference is anguish. With Sophie's Choice, that is horrific.
It's so hard that no matter, like,
anguish.
You lose no matter what. And even though, like, in like Guardians, the one that I reference, like, but it's almost a positive anguish. Is that what it is?
Well, it's at least you understand it. I mean,
yeah.
In the end of Stranger Things, not giving a spoiler, a few minutes away from the ending, well, actually, 10 minutes before the ending, I assumed what was going to happen would happen because it had to happen that way. It was just, it's just, that's how it had to happen, you know? And it made sense. And so even though it was sad, it made sense so I could rationalize it, I guess. But not with Sophie's Choice. It's nauseating and horrific.
Like,
and
those almost make you sick inside.
Yeah.
But, like, for whatever reason, like, when it's a happy cry, when I'm just like, oh, that's the that's so exceptional. I understand that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. But I'm just like, we love emotive responses. Like, I've seen Star Trek 2 how many times? Like, and every time, like, you get to that I am and, like,
oh,
always
yeah.
shall be your friend. Like, it gets me every time. And mm-hmm. I've seen that movie, I don't know how many times at this point.
Exactly.
Like, and that probably has something to do with the reason why I keep that in the regard that I do. Like, I like that emotive response that it gets out of me. These fictional things that aren't real in the slightest that, like, travel faster than, like, these weird, fantastic situations that if you will get me to an honest moment, like, it connects with me in a place that, like, I will continue to relive, because that movie came out in, what, 82?
And, you know, and I think that's what the sci-fi fantasy haters don't get. I love seeing stuff blow up and doing all this craziness. I do. But it still comes down to the story. And a good story is a good story. Is a good story.
If you're not with a character that you can relate to, like Back to the Future, like we all relate and understand Marty McFly. Like,
and the fact that he is brought up so many times in Stranger Things in the way that, you know how when I speak of characters, I will just call them that character in whatever movie they're in?
Yeah.
Well, Family Ties was what Michael J. Fox was starring in when Back to the Future came out. And so there is a point when Steve is hiding in the theater.
I think somebody posted it on Twitter. Yes. What is it? When Alex P. Keaton, like, travels back through time and tries to get with his mom or something like that.
Yes, and he was just like, this more than once.
And I'm just like, well, yeah, technically,
that is kind of
technically
it.
That is the plot to that movie.
And they even bring it up and they discuss it even more. And it's,
well,
it's lovely.
The thing about it, like, and they fell into a weird kind of chasm there, like when they were trying to get that movie made, where basically they were like, okay, that movie's not, because you're doing movies like what it was the extreme art, like, what is it, Meatballs? Is that right? Like, you had a lot of movies that were just pushing that R-rated stereotype, and they're like, we don't want to do this stupid family movie. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you go take it over to Disney? They'll do that stupid crap over there. They get it to Disney, and they're like, you have an incest subplot. You can't, we won't do this. Take it over to Universal. They're doing that Animal House R-rated comedy over there. Take it to them. So, like, Back to the Future was hard enough that, like, they didn't want anything to do with it, and it was, but it was so hard that Disney didn't want it, and, like, it ends up being, like, what, the, I think, $210 million in 1980, highest grossing film of the year, but nobody wanted it.
Like, interesting.
Like, and it just, I love that weird chasm that it put itself into when it was like, well, you're not an R-rated comedy that doesn't, like, have all this kind of humor and, like, R-rated whatever, but also you're not the computer that wore tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. So we can't, like, we're not putting that incest subplot into a movie that has the Disney
somewhere
name on it.
One person listening is going, what?
What is he just talking
one.
About?
Just the one, because everyone else already knew. So anyway, Stranger Things, I held near and dear when I saw the very first season, because usually when you have something set in the 80s, it's the big, bright, and bouncy 80s, where you've got the huge hair and the bright, bright colors, and everyone is shiny and happy and things like that, which there was a part of the 80s that was that. But the regular 80s, they've nailed in extraordinary detail. And on this one, and the music that they include goes with it. And on this one, I noticed, because again, this episode is the year that Back to the Future came out. So you've got a lot of Madonna playing, which Madonna was everywhere in 1985.
Yeah.
And so you see the fashions start to change. You see the makeup start to change. You see, you remember everyone was into jazzercise, and Jane Fonda had her thing. And anytime you saw women exercising on TV, they had leotards on and then a thong over it. And then the leg warmers, that whole look.
I do think it's interesting, like, where 80s nostalgia has went. Because the first time I remember somebody hearkening back to the 80s for possibly, like, comic effect was, I want to say it's Wedding Singer, was the first, like, really big, like, kind of pull toward that. And there were even points that I'm just like, that's not exactly how, like, some films that want to revisit the 50s, you have your stereotype of the 50s.
Yeah, poodle skirt, this and that.
And then you have, like, how the 50s actually were. Now, I didn't live through the 50s, so, like, I don't actually know what it is. But there are people that will just be like, that's not it. Now, with the 80s, I can do that. Like,
see,
I was there. I witnessed it.
I look at pictures of my parents from the 50s, and they got married in 1950. My mom wore a lot of dresses. Not a single one was a poodle skirt, and she didn't clean the house in, well, she did in a dress.
She didn't
but not with pearls and all of this. And so there was that aspect that was different. But anyway, I could go on and on about how great Stranger Things is. Adam, you have to set aside the time, and season 3 is only 8 episodes. Only 8.
I appreciate when, like, as much as I like having 26 episodes of anything, there are shows that, like, that say they drop 12, and I'm just like, that episode was filler, that was expendable. Mm-hmm. If your story takes 8 episodes, take 8 episodes. If you need 12 episodes to tell your story, mm-hmm. tell that. Like, I don't need the clip show. I don't need the filler. I don't need like random bits of exposition that like really don't enhance the story for me. It take the time that you need. Again, I'm sure there are people that are fanatical about this. That just like, why can't I have 10? Why can't I have 12? Why can't I have 16? I've experienced those episodes where I'm like, why is this an episode? This episode's dumb. Why? And like with network, you understand that like they have a commitment to do 24 right. episodes, 22 episodes. So sometimes they're not all going to be gems. But like Netflix and HBO, to a certain degree, seem to just let people be. They'll just be like, all right, I need 6 episodes to tell this story. And they're like, okay, all right, you got 6 episodes. That's what you need to do it in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure I'll watch it again because now I'd like to see it. I'd like to see all 3 episodes in a row. But part of what I liked about the other 2 episodes, and certainly this one, is I can't think of an episode where it's like, I didn't really need to see that. Everything, certainly in this one, because it's most fresh, everything was there for a reason. And everything had to be there. And it worked.
I want it edited down to like I said, where it all matters. I don't want episodes that you put in there so you can expound on that back character that literally no one cares about. Mm-hmm. And unless you've got a really good reason and you can convince me that character matters, don't just do it to fill it up 48 minutes or 45 minutes or 22 minutes or whatever the length of your show is. I don't want filler. Like mm-hmm. if I'm going to dedicate like my time to you, make it matter. Like respect me enough to make it matter. Entertain me, but make it matter.
I think you would genuinely love this show on many, many levels.
I have absolutely no doubt that I would. And I haven't avoided it because of like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Reasons of whatever.
Reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. And nothing to do with Stranger Things, but it made me think of you when a coworker was asked if they'd ever seen Breaking Bad, and then they wanted to know what was it about and when is it on, and I had to walk away. Because it's like...
How did you miss that?
Well, she'd never heard of it, and I thought, huh.
I mean, how do you not... Like, I get to a certain... Like, I get if you haven't watched something, but like, how have you not... Heard of it. Like if you weren't like in a cave or like you didn't crash land like a Nazi jet into Antarctica and you've been frozen for the last 70 years, I understand why you miss some stuff. But like mm-hmm. how did you just miss Breaking Bad? Like somebody had to bring that up to you, or you saw like a blurb about it on Google or
so that just tells me so that it was on 2008 to 2013, and lots of times you'll see just little jokes where like someone's dressed like that and you get, oh, it's a Breaking Bad reference.
Hulu and Netflix constantly harass me to watch things. How have they missed them not just being like, hey, you, watch it. Like are they watching network television? Is that how they, I don't understand. I don't.
No, they're watching something with Robin Givens in it that isn't called Success, but maybe it's called Ambition on a channel I've never heard of. I suspect they don't stream. I don't understand it either.
It just, but
sometimes you got to walk away.
Do they not know what the internet is?
I don't think so.
Is that? No. I mean, honestly, honest to goodness, like I could go back, like I could go back in time to the 80s. Like I could deal with that. But like, I like a lot of my amenities. Like I love streaming. I love being able to control mm-hmm. virtually everything in the house, like from my phone. I like having information at my fingertips. Like I was a kid that just thirsted for knowledge. I mean, not necessarily important knowledge. I'm not saying like I was looking for like how the human like body works. I'm saying like I like stupid things like who was the actor that was in the Chewbacca
yes.
costume? Like I wanted to know that stuff then, and you couldn't just Google it. Like you had to get like, you know, fanzines, or you had to you had to seek it out. And like to have that now, like I'm sure it's the difference in like the pioneer that had to grow all their own food, and when the frost came and killed it all, like they're just like, what do I do? Because back then you didn't just know like, oh, that's Peter Mayhew. Oh, that's mm-hmm. That's, you know.
Yeah, you had to have a friend like me or Adam who remembered all that stuff for you.
Yeah, like somebody one day, their husband had challenged them. He goes, all right, I want to try something. He goes, I want you to text Adam, and I'm going to Google it, and I want to see which one of us gets the answer for. Basically, they John Henry'd me, like, with Google. And they're like, I bet you Adam can do it before you can find the like, make sure that you have the answer. And I beat Google in that particular spot. Like, they were still, like, flipping through, like, different articles.
It's a good feeling.
They couldn't get it, and I was like, yeah, why did you actually, I think my response, I just answered it straight off, and then I go, why didn't you just Google that? And they go, well, and then, like, they explained
funny
it to me,
story.
And I was like, I've been used.
Yes, you have.
That's not what this knowledge is for.
Use it for good. Anyway.
And occasionally evil that makes you money. Just
occasionally.
Only evil that can make you money. That's the only time that I make exceptions.
Anywho, Stranger Things is certainly worth your time. And it's superbly done on every level. And what's even more delightful is the cast. I don't know why this even matters, but they've done even more behind the scenes stuff on this one. The cast genuinely seems to like each other, which really helps the friendship on screen as well.
Well, and it probably makes like negotiations for later seasons easier as well.
Exactly. So I'm sure there'll be a season 4, and they'll have to turn them out pretty fast because children grow.
Yeah. Like if you, I think it's honestly amazing that they got the Harry Potter films out at the
tick that pace,
that they did, because like, I mean, and most of those, the books are essentially real time.
Yeah.
Like, well, they weren't released in year time, but like year one, then year two, I think it's even on the spine of the books. Mm-hmm. Like you're going through that. And like, if you take three years in between movies, like Daniel Radcliffe is in his 30s in the seventh book when he's supposed to be graduating like wizard high school. So like, if you don't do this quickly, they'll still be there, but like they're gonna talk like this.
Yes,
and they've got a 5 o'clock shadow and everything. I'm just a boy. That's all.
I'm just a boy. You're creeping me out. Watch Stranger Things. Watch Stranger Things, and then rewatch all of it because it's just that good. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen,
and I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Henson Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.